I've been renting houses for a decade now because I started living on my own when I was 18. So it was almost 10 years ago. Like right now I'm 27, so almost 10 years ago. And I've lived across in India in all the major cities except for, I guess, Kolkata. So I've lived in Delhi, Mumbai, Bangalore. I've lived in Pune as well. So yeah.
What was it like living in these cities, if you could take us back to that time, as a single woman?
Yeah, I think Bangalore, I was living with my friends and a partner, so it was not that difficult for living as a single woman. But I remember in Delhi, it was like Delhi was the first city that I started renting out in. So my biggest stories are from Delhi times only when I was studying in my bachelor's and I had to take a flat near my college only. I remember renting out in this place somewhere in North Delhi, and the biggest problem was that, oh, if you live in Delhi NCR, why are you renting out a place in the mainland, in the main city of Delhi? And I just had a common thing that just to save my time and live over here. And I remember over that time, landlords or landladies, they used to be super nosy about things. I mean, I understand they need some personal information about you, that where do you live, what your parents do. But their nosiness often came from that, oh, you're going to be a single girl living, how will you manage everything? Do you have enough resources? Do you think you can manage? Like they wouldn't be protective questions, but they were almost like that they don't want to give out the space to you. Like, I mean, if I am a renter, then they should be more happy to give me the place and just ask me basic questions. But they would ask questions in such a way that it would often feel like they never wanted to give me the house. And I think one particular thing which really stood out for me was when I was renting a house somewhere in North Delhi in this area called Shastri Nagar. So at that time, I did not know much about that, how, cities are organized as per communities or caste or religion. Like, I was just understanding that. I never had a first-hand experience. So when I moved to Shastri Nagar, I was planning to move there. A lot of brokers that I met over there would often ask me that, where does your last name come from? So they would ask me that, oh, where is his last name come from? Where are your parents from? And I would tell them that, yeah, my parents, like, basically my parents are also from Delhi. Like, they have been three generations living in Delhi. So we are people from Delhi. But they would often ask, no, this goes back or piche, like, it goes back or like it would go back more forward, like it's not just that you are from Delhi, there needs to be some other correlation as well. So they would just like try to identify where my original place is from. And even when they're not able to identify, or when I don't give them like correct an not correct but not when I don't give them direct answers, they would just like blurt it out in a very direct question that, oh, then what exactly does your religion or caste comes into being? Like, with my name, it's evident enough that I'm a Hindu identity, but they would still try to ask for a caste, but they would never position it in a very direct manner. And I remember I also had sort of an argument with a neighbor about it. I mean, we were just three girls living upstairs, and that time I was alone in the house, and the downstairs lady just casually asked me that, oh, your last name, it does not sound very upper caste. Like, she said, she used the term Brahmin. So she said, your last name doesn't sound very Brahmin. How did you get the house? And for a moment I was just confused that why does it even matter, even if I'm not a Brahmin? Like, any caste would work, right? As long as you're getting the payment on time. But yeah, I mean, some houses did decline me on the basis of just I mean, they would just ask me that, okay, where do you belong from? And what caste does you exactly come from? Like, they would just put it in terms of either like Brahmin or Kayist. That's the only two caste they sort of were concerned about, ki, okay, if you are from these two castes, then we can give the house. But if you are not, then they would then just like put up a question about it. Oh, if you're not from these two castes, then you might eat non-veg. And then they would bring out the entire thing that, oh, if you're eating non-veg, we can't allow cooking non-veg in the house. You can maybe order in, but please don't order in on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So, yeah, there was a lot of commotion about it. So eventually, I think I left Shastri Nagar within 6 months of living there. They wanted to know where exactly you're from. What are your eating habits? Does your parents know about it? Especially for single women, they would be very much like that. We need your parents' information as well. So, I mean, it would have made sense if I was probably like a minor, but being an adult, it felt a bit off, and especially for my parents as well, because then they thought that probably it's not a good area to live in. So,
yeah. And that kind of brings me to my second question, which is, could you remember another time where you felt like you had no right to exist in your own home on your own terms, you know? For example, something happened with a landlord, a neighbor, or a resident welfare association that you would be comfortable recalling for the community?
I think this happened would be twice. The one instance was in Shastri Nagar. So within the span of 6 months living there, I had almost changed two houses. So the first house that we started to live in, the thing is that when we went out to rent a house, I was the one who was doing the main coordination. So I would be the one to meet the landlords or the landlady, and I would do all the conversations about rent, how much would be the deposit, what are the maintenance charges and everything. So while caste was an issue very particular, they were also pretty problematic about religion as well. I mean, it might seem like that I'm narrating somebody else's story, but I feel like it's sort of relevant here. So I used to live with a girl, and she was Muslim, I was Hindu, and there was another Hindu. So the reason why I always went out to do the talking was because since I'm a Hindu, it was pretty easy to convince the landlords or the landladies over there to give us the flat for rent. That's why I did never asked my Muslim friend to go out and have this conversation, because for her, it would have been a very triggering situation. So often I would take on this conversation part. So this one time, I was not on the flat, and my friend was there, the Muslim friend was there. And I think she was in her room, and the house structure was also built that the back door neighbors were pretty close to our balcony. So there was not enough space. Like, the walls were pretty thin and everything. So, for example, if you're shouting in your room, like, just speaking loudly as well, the voice might go over to the next house or something. And I remember she probably got into a fight with her friend or with her partner, and she must have been, like, probably speaking loudly on the phone. Now, in an ideal situation, we would have expected the neighbors to come around and probably talk to us. That, hey, is everything fine? Or do you guys want to help with something? Like, it seems very distressful situation. But they did nothing like this. Instead, they called our landlords, our landlord and landlady, and and they showed up to our house without any invitation, without any communication, without any information. At least they could have informed us that, hey, we are coming to the house. They just came to the house. They did not even have the courtesy to knock or, you know, like, ring the bell. They had a spare key, which we weren't aware about. And they just opened the door and they entered our house, just like that. Only because the neighbors complained that there is loud noise coming in. While I completely take in the fact that, okay, like, it was our fault that the noise was loud and we should have been careful about it. But I personally don't think so anybody can have the right to enter somebody else's house. Especially, it's a private space now. It's no longer a commercial. I mean, I know it's a rented house, but it's a private space of somebody else. And we are three women living over there, and the first person to enter the house was a man, which we didn't consent for. So they came into the house, and, you know, rather than being concerned about what's happening, what's not, they instead started screaming at us that, you know, you girls, like, basically my flatmate was there, and by the time I reached, she only told me that by the time I reached, they had said a lot of things to her, basis her religion. And the moment I reached, I remember my friend was crying, and I just, I started talking to the landlord at what's happening and why are you here without any information. And they immediately went on to that, went out to, you know, all the sexism that they could think of. They were like, we should never give houses to women because single women is always a trouble to be called out for. And then they went out with like that, we don't know who was in the house, and she was talking to somebody, she was screaming at somebody, the neighbors heard it. So I then asked that if the neighbors heard it, did they see anyone in the house or did they see anyone going outside of the house? So, to which they had no answer. They just came in the house with their own speculations. They just assumed that, you know, there is a man in the house, there's some another guy in the house, and they're like, you know, a young man and a young woman is in the house, they got into a fight and something is happening. And it was just probably her speaking loudly, but the entire narrative got built into the fact that my friend was throwing things into the house. I mean, she was being physically violent against somebody. And mind you, we also checked the security cameras. Nothing like that was found. It went to such an extent that we had to do like a thorough check of the building. We also got the security cameras pulled in, that what were the footage of the entire day or day before. So for the entire day, no man had entered the house. But they made it into such a thing that, you know, there was a man in the house and the guy and the girl were having an argument. And they cooked up an entire story. I think within a week, we had to leave the house. So that was there. And the second instance was something which happened to me here in Ghaziabad when I think I moved back to Ghaziabad in 2024. And that time I thought of taking my own place rather than living with my family. So I was living close by to my family only, but I took my own place. And I remember, so I was living alone and I took a 2 BHK for myself. And the entire time the broker was like, why do you want to take a 2 BHK all for yourself? Like, you are just one woman, you can just take like a one smaller house or something like that. And I told him that, no, I like having space in the house, so I want to have it. So then he started, so while I gave him a very normal answer, he started cooking up an entire story that, oh, probably you want it because you're going to get married tomorrow, you're going to have a partner, your husband is going to come or your fiance is going to come. So he made an entire cooked up story in his own head. And whenever he used to come and meet me, he would like just greet me anywhere. He would just ask me this only. So when is the happy day coming or when is the celebration coming? And I would just be like, I never told you any of this. Like, nothing of this is happening for me. Like, I'm just renting a house for myself. And I remember I had a complaint in that house in terms of some electricity regulation. So I made that complaint 2 to 3 times to the society association, to the broker as well. Nobody listened to me. But one time I got my father to make the same complaint on behalf of me, and everyone listened and everyone just got it done. And they were just like, oh, you could have told us that, you know, your father is also going to be here and he's going to live here. And I was just like, I said the same thing. Like, it's, I mean, there was no difference. I remember even like in certain situations when I had to deal with certain landlords or landladies, I would often rely on my male friends to talk to my landlords or landladies as like my brother or like my father, something like that. Like, I would ask them to mask it up.
In these, looking back at that time, what do you think could have actually helped you? Some maybe better legal knowledge or repository, a community of people, or, you know, someone to call or something else entirely?
Honestly, I don't think so. The legal case would have really helped. I mean, it is probably me being very pessimist about the legal system, but
yeah,
in my opinion, I don't think so. The legal thing would have ever worked around. But I think maybe if I could have just controlled my emotions better, because I remember in most of these instances, there was a point where I went so emotional. I got so emotionally invested in everything that I am also, I am fighting over there. I am screaming at the top of my lungs. I am fighting with every uncle and auntie over there. But I'm also crying at the same time. Yeah. So all that, you know, all that courage I could build up, it was just coming out in my tears. And the, you know, like the moment you start crying in the middle of the fight, people then just label you as that, oh, she's crazy, she's emotional, she's going through things. Or, you know, I remember one of the uncles also said, ki, he said it in Hindi, saying that, beta, aapke din to nahi chal rahe hain. He just simply said that, are you not menstruating or something? And I was like, I am triggered at the moment because you are coming up with such accusations on a random basis. And it was the same one who came into our house saying that, oh, we assumed there was a guy in the house. And we are just like, it's your paranoia which was working, but now we have to give you explanations. Like our entire day is invested into this. That we are, you know, proving to you that who has come into our house and who has not come into our house. And yeah, I think at that moment, I wish people around us who were probably watching, and even if they knew that, I mean, a lot of times I remember a lot of people who were watching all of this unfold knew that this was happening and it was wrong, whatever was happening. I wish they could have just spoken up. They could have just like intervened and said, ki, you know, just said, ki, like, this is not right. You should not treat young people like this.
Yeah.
I mean, just that bare minimum of a statement. Because I remember in one of the instances when I had an entire argument and when the thing got shut down and I was doing all my packing and everything, the guard and the other... And the other neighbors, they just came up and they were like, don't mind anything, you know, these people are like this, you should not be so worried about everything. And I'm like, maybe it's not that deep for you, but for me it is, because I invested money in this house to rent out this house. I invested money in terms of moving my things. I paid the deposit. And it's a complete hassle to find a new house. Yeah. It's not that easy. So, I mean... I did all of the hard work and then I got such a bad house with like people who are not even willing to cooperate. And I think in this everything, the worst situation is that you expect that women would get your POV. Like you would expect that the landladies would specially stand with you and be like, they would understand what it means to be a single woman figuring out things. But unfortunately, they are the worst ones, actually. I should not be saying this, but yeah, they are the... Like, I can for once have a creepy uncle give me a house rather than going for a landlady who is going to monitor everything I do or slut-shame me. So I would rather deal with a creepy man, I think. Which is honestly sad to be said, but yeah. I know that for a fact that it also gave into a lot of me being anxious all the time. Like within my house, I used to be always anxious. I was like, oh, I have to be mindful who's coming in, who's not coming in. Because, I mean, it's probably personally me, but I feel like for me, words really stay in my head. And especially when women, when they come up and say to you, when they slut shame you, that sort of really stays with you for a really long time. Like, I remember when the incident happened with my friend, like, with the first flat in Shastri Nagar, and the landlady said a lot of things which were not only misogynistic, they were sexist, and she almost came down to slut-shaming all three of the girls. I was just so stunned that I was just like, that maybe... I am a bad person, maybe, you know, just like, I am a bad woman in general, like, I am a bad girl, I should maybe introspect a lot in myself, that I should see what I'm wearing. And I remember for a very long time, I used to do this a lot, that whatever I'm wearing, I used to be very conscious about it. Because one time, one auntie said something, and now I'm just stuck with it. People need to trust their rentees more. I mean, I think we... Despite the differences, I mean, I understand that wherever money is involved in any relationship, it's said that things will go sour or things will go bad. I understand that. But the thing is, over here, as a rentee and a renter, we don't really have to be family. Like, we can just keep it as per like a business proposal, and we can be professional about it. Like, there's no need to get so personal about people in general. I understand that maybe probably in, like, I remember, like, I can share my comparison when I was living in the UK and the renting situation over there and the renting situation over here. In the UK, I remember when I went out for a rental agreement, the landlord was, I'm sure he had his own problems and everything, but he was courteous. He kept it professional. I mean, he never explored much around with our private lives. And even if he did, he was just like, if you don't mind me asking, or I hope it's okay if I get to know more about you. And that was something which helped us to navigate the conversation with him. I think in Indian society, we just sort of expect people to be very friendly and just be cuddly with each other. So the moment you say things like that, oh, I'm not comfortable in sharing things about, you know, I'm not comfortable sharing personal things about me, they often take it as like, oh, this person is hiding something. Like, I'm almost 28 right now, and now when I try to look for a rented house, I find it very annoying when sometimes people or broker would just come up and ask to me that, oh, what does your parent, like, what do your parents do? Where are you from? Where are you originally from? Where does your parents hail from? I find it annoying now. Because, okay, it would have made sense when I was younger, probably when I was 18, 19. I was fine with them asking these questions because I understand probably they were looking out for me because I'm a young teenager, like, you know, a young adult. But now when somebody comes and asks me, when I'm like, now I've not rented a house in a year now. But the last time when I rented in Mumbai, I remember there were some brokers who were asking me this question. In Mumbai and Ghaziabad, in Ghaziabad last time, I remember some of the brokers were asking me this question, that how many people will live in the house, will boys come in the house, where do you come from, how many people are there in your family. And I felt like that's unnecessary question. Like, you can ask me that, you know, how many people are going to live in the house, I can share that, but after a certain age, asking these questions seems very unnecessary. I remember when one of my friend, so this friend of mine, his first name is it could be taken as like a Muslim name, but his last name, like, once he reveals his full name, you know that he's from an upper caste family. I remember when he had to rent out a flat. So the day one, when he went to the broker was like that, oh, we actually don't give houses to Muslims. Like, he didn't say that we don't give houses, but he just said that the current flat, the landlord might not be comfortable with giving the house to a Muslim. So he just said that, oh, I'm not exactly Muslim. My full name is this. And they immediately went like that, oh, this would work. And he got the house, I remember. He got the house within 1 week. I think 2 days, actually. Within 2 days of flat hunting. And I had to do a flat hunt for almost a month and a half. Wow. He got it within 2 days. And I remember the entire... He didn't stay only a year. He stayed in that flat for 2 years. And 2 years in the same locality, Shastri Nagar. And for 2 years, he never saw his landlord's face ever. The landlord and him, I think they only met during the signing. Rest, they never saw each other's face. The money is transacted, done, goodbye. With me, I also planned to live in Shastri Nagar for at least a year, but I remember I could only stay there for 6 months. And within 6 months, I had to change two flats. And the first flat, thankfully, like, since it was only, actually, the first flat also, we had a very great argument and everything. And I did lose a certain amount of money over there. And even in the second flat also, I lost money. And I think that was my experience, that I would never like to rent a house in Delhi. Because Delhi renting is insane to a certain level. Even Bangalore is to a certain extent. But I think in Bangalore, Bangalore, the bias that I faced was around the fact that, oh, you are from Delhi, and it's just Delhi and single women. But single women has always been a prevalent one.